I remember when I was in college, I saw a flyer on a bulletin board, and it was for a Bible study. I read it, and I thought it sounded interesting, so I decided I was going to attend. I talked to a couple buddies. I said, yeah, I think I'll go too. And so we arrived that evening for Bible study, and the teacher started the session. And he said, you know, I'm planning on meeting for the next 12 weeks, but I'm pretty sure the world's coming to an end sometime in the next couple weeks. So we'll play it by ear. And then for the next 2, maybe 3 hours, he showed us charts, graphs. He read through a lot of scripture from Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation and basically scared us to death. I mean, near the end, he played a song. Some of you might remember Larry Norman. He was a Christian artist, and he did a song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. And then if you listen to that song, there's a line repeated. It says, the sun has come, and you've been left behind. And the longer the evening went, the heavier things got. It got really quiet at one point. And I watched, and people were crying, visibly upset. And I remember kind of fighting back the emotions. And it was really uncomfortable. And to be honest, it was a little bit weird. We had prayer that evening. I could not get out of that room quick enough. I mean, I got in my car, and as I'm driving, the whole time I'm thinking, if the world doesn't end tonight, I'm going to study, I'm going to find out, I'm going to figure out what the Bible really has to say about the end of the world. Because just to be honest, I wanted that to be the last time that somebody manipulated me, because that's what it felt like, and played the scared card. Next day, I got up, and I thought, okay, how am I going to start my study? And I went out, and there was a very popular book at that time. It was called The Late Great Planet Earth. You know, any of you read that? All right, we're dating ourselves now. Sold 30 million copies. And I thought, well, that'd be a good thing to read, and I'm studying the scriptures. But that book basically was saying that the events in the world, in particular the Middle East at that time, were lining up with prophecy in scripture, and that Christ's return was close at hand. In fact, the book would indicate they believe Christ would come during our lifetime. That just added fuel to the fire. Here's what I've come to realize. Every generation, this is a topic of interest. How many of you have read the Left Behind series? Yeah. All right, a lot more of you. Either means you're younger or you just read a lot. But, you know, that sold 65 million copies. People are interested in how this is going to play out, how the world will end. Each generation has someone making predictions about when that's going to be. There's a lot of talk these days. I mean, war, rumors of war. They think the ozone, you know, as it disappears, the environment kind of heats up, that's how it's going to end, that the earth finally will just burn up. When you read scripture, prophecies about the end times, a lot of it is highly debated. There are a lot of things that theologians have debated for centuries. Now, I'm not going into detail stuff today, especially the debated stuff. But I kind of want to go through the universal stuff, the stuff that's accepted and kind of stay high altitude, big picture stuff. The fact is, one day, this world will end. One day, Jesus Christ is coming back. One day, one universal cataclysmic event will take place. Scripture says this, Jesus is talking, he says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the people of the world will cry. They will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud in the sky with great power and glory. He will use a loud trumpet to send his angels all around the earth, and they will gather his chosen people from every part of the world. There are scores of passages that talk about the end time. Talk about that one day when Christ comes back. You know, people always, anytime you talk on this topic, they go, when? When is it? I mean, we want to know when. And the fact is, Jesus one day answered that question. I mean, with a really amazing clarity, he says, no one knows the day. The angels don't know. He says, the Son doesn't know. Only God knows. Privileged information, I guess. You know, Jesus doesn't even have the security clearance on this one. He's not high enough up. Only God knows. And so here's just basic thing. You ought to tuck this in your memory. If anyone, if there's a book out or a blog, someone claims that they know when that is, they don't know. They don't know. If Jesus doesn't know, nobody knows. Only God knows. But we know this world's going to end. We know Christ is coming back. And we know when it happens, everyone will know it. Scripture says that when Jesus returns, it won't be to a certain town or a certain country or a certain continent. Nobody on this planet will miss this event. It'll be one great day. It'll be the greatest display of divine power and majesty. One day. I mean, God will put on this amazing light and sound show beyond anything that we can even dream up. You know, when Christ breaks through the sky, God will have everybody's full attention. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, Cindy and I had the opportunity a couple times. We were in downtown Chicago, 4th of July, and we were with about 1 million people downtown. And we were listening to the Chicago Symphony, and we look up and the fireworks are overhead. A very awing experience. Can you imagine if you had millions and millions of 4th of July celebrations all going on at one time, all human history, everyone in one instant in this world will go, this is it. This is the end. I mean, billions of graves will open up. People that have been dust will rise again. Massive resurrection. Now, the order, the details, a bit fuzzy. Highly debated. But Scripture's clear that we'll all come to life. And one day, we will be judged. You know, Hebrews 9 says everyone must die once, and after that, be judged by God. That's a tough passage for our society. I mean, we live in a society that values tolerance. Tolerance over truth. Tolerance over holiness. In fact, I believe people do everything they can to convince themselves that they will be accountable to no one, that they will never give an answer for their lives, for their choices, for their prejudice, for their greed. They would just never have to answer. But Jesus says, one day, God will set the record straight. One day, God will step in and make things that are wrong, right. Jesus said, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will gather in his presence. And he will separate people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. all nations. It means everyone will be judged. You read on in the passage, and Scripture says that God will begin to say to one group, depart from me. And to another group, he'll say, come in, eternal life, heaven, it's yours. You know, one day, God's going to gather everybody up, and he's going to judge and he's going to separate things. And those that have blown off God in their life. I mean, think about it. In this world, you can go, I don't need God. But you still get the benefit of God. You get the benefit that God's still in control of this world. You get the benefit that God's presence and grace are kind of containing evil that tries to sweep through this world. But in the next reality, in eternity, those that wanted life without God, they get it full on. I mean, eternity without God, the Scripture describes it, and you read it, it's very nightmarish, to be honest. And you live every day with regret. Because you go, man, I had an opportunity, and I just blew God off. It's eternal regret. Friends, that is not an outcome you want. Eternal heartbreak. But on that one day, God's going to look at those that have lived for him, those that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And he's going to say just the opposite of depart from me, but he's going to say, come on in. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. I mean, it's a dramatic moment. You know, those that decided that they would do life with God in this world, those that accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, those whose behaviors align with what they say they believe, those who tried to bring God's kingdom in this world. You see, kingdom builders go into the kingdom. God's church. And one day, Jesus told his disciples, he said, hey, I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to leave you. And they kind of got upset about it. He says, I'm going to go back to heaven, be with my Father for a while. And they were heartbroken. But Jesus said, look, I've got to go. I've got to go so that I can build my kingdom through you, through the disciples, and through the church. And he says, someday I'm coming back. And so the disciples, they lived with the expectation that Jesus Christ was coming again. They lived with that expectation that one day they would be together with Jesus again. And I want you to listen very carefully here. See, when a serious-minded follower of Jesus Christ thinks about the end of the world, or thinks about the end of their life. Friends, we don't waste time poring over charts and graphs and trying to figure out stuff that you can't figure out anyway. We don't get caught up in that speculation. Serious Christ followers, I believe, allow eternal realities, the fact that this world will end, Christ is coming back, they allow it to impact how they live. See, I think we begin to think about that reunion someday in heaven. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought about that, what it's going to be like when we go to heaven? I mean, what it will be like to be in the presence of God, our Creator? Have you ever thought about what it would be like the first time that you look Jesus Christ in the eyes? You get to meet him? You ever think about some of the people you study in Scripture? Wow, I'm going to get to talk to them. Connect with them. I mean, how cool will that be? Yeah. So you're Shadrach, huh? Tell me about it, you know. I mean, I just think there'd be so many amazing conversations. And then I think about being reunited with people that I love. You know, you think about that too. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, a grandchild, friend, family. Friends, I am reminded every time that I stand by a grave, this life's short. This life is short, and this life is not the end of it all. The reality is that Jesus Christ is coming back someday, and it defines me. It affects how I live. You know, Jesus said, I'm coming back, not so that we would live in fear, not so we'd freak out, but he did it so we'd be ready. Jesus said, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. One day Jesus Christ is coming back. It should define you. It should define how you live. I mean, are you ready for that day? I mean, for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lord, if you're going to be ready, it means coming to a relationship with Jesus, accepting him as your Lord and Savior. So, you know, you need to get ready. And for those that have taken that step in their life, that you say, yes, I've given my life to Christ. I accept him as my Savior. I accept him as Lord. But you're living half committed, half-hearted, casual. Christians, you were created by God, called by God. And we are called to live every day, with one focus: preparing for eternity. I mean, are you living that way? Are you ready? Are you faithful? Are you marking eternity with your one and only life that God's given you? You see, that one day, that reality of eternity, it should define how we use our time. You know, Scripture says this, Paul is actually preaching here, but says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it, he's talking about time there, time and talent, for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Time is the most precious resource that you have. It is far more important than money. You can get more money. You cannot get more time. You can't make time. You can't borrow time. You can't save time. You can't extend time. You can only use the time that God has given you. Each week, 168 hours. Friends, if you do not learn how to manage your time well, you can't manage anything else. You know why? Time is your life. And I believe one of the strategies of the evil one is to get you so busy doing unimportant things. Notice I didn't say bad things, unimportant things. So wrapped up in things that don't really matter, that you don't have time for the important stuff. You don't spend time preparing for that day in eternity. I mean, if you want to clarify your life, just ask yourself a few questions. You know, as you're filling out your schedule, how much of this is going to count 5 years from now, 10 years from now? How much of this will matter in eternity? In fact, you could probably say how much of it will matter in 2 weeks sometimes. I mean, one day, it defines how you use your time. You know, that one day, it defines how you're going to use your talents in life. It says that God paid a great price for you. So use your body to honor God. See, I ready myself for eternity by using my gifts and talents for God's kingdom. Is that true for you? I mean, you know, ask yourself, what are you doing that is beyond you? You know, again, what will matter in 10 years? You know, what will matter 20 years from now? What you're doing, you know, will it matter when you're gone? Will it matter in eternity? Those things define, they clarify. I look around this church, I get excited. I get excited because I see people that are serving. I see people that get excited about using their gifts and their talents for God's kingdom. I see people willing to sacrifice, make a difference in other people's lives. I see people get kind of jazzed up about expanding God's kingdom, marking eternity. It's what it's about. I mean, that one day when Christ comes, it defines how I use my treasures in life. Anybody watching the economy this day, these days? Come on. Stock markets. I mean, it's interesting because, like, China and Turkey, Indonesia, rapidly rising economies. U.S. economy is doing better, but it's a little slow recovering. People are trying to figure out, where do you invest? You know, what's the safest place to put my money? And, you know, we're trying to figure that stuff out. And I think I've shared this before, but let's just suppose that Congress passed a law. And that sometime during the next 12 months, we don't know when, they won't tell us, nobody knows, but sometime in the next 12 months, the U.S. dollar will be worthless. They're going to phase it out. Sometime in the next 12 months, the yen will be the new currency in the U.S. If you knew that, if you knew that was going to happen in the next 12 months, what would your strategy be? I mean, if you're wise, you would immediately go and take most of your dollars and convert it to yen. Why? So you wouldn't get caught with a bunch of worthless dollars. You'd keep enough dollars so that you could take care of your daily needs, so that you could handle things until that day when everything shifts. Well, friends, Jesus said one day will be an exchange day in life, and that you are going to die, and only a fool goes through this world unprepared for something that we know is inevitable. Now, I did some heavy research on this. In America, mortality rate is 100%. Go figure. One day, we're going to exchange. We're going to exchange this life for eternity. One day, we will leave this earth, and everything that we leave will be worthless. One day, only the things that will matter and count is whatever we've converted into God's economy. You've heard me talk about this before. It's storing up treasures in heaven. I mean, how? How do you do that? Well, Paul writes, he says, tell them to use their wealth for good things. Be rich in good works. If they're willing to give generously and share everything, then they will send ahead. See, there's the send ahead into heaven. A great treasure for themselves and build their future on a solid foundation. As a result, they will surely take hold of eternal life. Friends, I'm looking forward to that exchange day. Because for most of my life, I have spent my time and my talents and my treasures. And I've put it into the currency of eternity. You know, the question, where are you investing? You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. I mean, you can. How do you do that? Well, you invest in people. People that are going to heaven. Jesus kind of shares that investment strategy. Luke 16. He says, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. I mean, what's Jesus talking about there? I mean, obviously, he's not talking about buying your way to heaven. You can't do that. It's a free gift. It's accepting what Christ did for us on the cross, accepting the power of the resurrection. But Jesus says, this is a pretty good strategy for investing. It's to take our money and to use it to get people to heaven. So people will welcome you in heaven one day. In eternity, there'll be people that'll just come up to you and go, thank you. Thank you for helping me get to heaven. Because of what you did, because of what you gave, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Imagine being in heaven and someone comes up and says, hey, you don't know me, but my grandfather went to that church that you went to. My grandfather gave his life to Jesus Christ. And my father, my dad, he attended all the different zones in that church. And so when he got married, God was a priority in our family. My sister and I, we were raised in the faith. And I just wanted you to know, because you sacrificed, because you did what you did, I grew up to love God with all my heart, and I just wanted to say thank you. And friends, I think there will be hundreds and hundreds of stories like that. You know, that's what the one campaign, really, you want to boil it down. That's why we're doing it. You know, our goal, raise $700,000. Build 5,000 square feet of kid-centric space. You know, I love the fact, did you catch Nick on the video? He said kid-centric space. First time I use that term, someone goes, that's not a term, Damon. It's catching on. Little hinky, huh? Our desire is to pay cash for the addition. Every dollar that is given to this goes to building that building. You know, once the funds are secured, we break ground and move forward. But friends, it is an investment in eternity. It is not just about building a building. I say this all the time. Buildings are just to be used. They're vehicles for God to use. This is about building lives. It's about strengthening families. It's about bringing people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about preparing people for eternity. You know what happens in that space? Friends, it not only changes, you know, the kids that go through that space in the next 5 years or 10 years, it's exponential. Kids of those kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, touched by what we do today. It marks families. It marks communities. It marks this country. Ultimately, it marks places all around this globe. It marks the next generation. Huge return. I mean, you can't even imagine. It marks eternity. Most important thing. How many of you were here last week and went outside to do the stakes? Let me see. We almost got blown away. Now, I don't know what you were thinking about when you were out there. I was imagining the space like it was actually there. My mind was kind of racing. I was watching families, you know, they're putting the stakes in the ground. And I was keenly aware of the kids, you know, the excitement of the young children, especially. I was watching a couple of the kids, they had the hammer. And I mean, they're struggling with it, but they were determined. But I was imagining what God could do in that space, and I was kind of taking everything in. I was a little bit exhausted, but it was a holy moment. I just took it in. Then we had prayer. After the prayer, I had a family that came up to me. Mom had her two kids, and aunt and uncle were there. And they said, she wants to tell you something. A little girl, name's Emma. She's 5 years old, same age as my granddaughter. And so I knelt down, and I'm looking, we're eye to eye with each other. And she goes, I got saved. She had taken the step earlier in the week. And friends, I'm looking in her eyes, all that joy. I thought about my granddaughter. There's a lot at stake here. New space. I was standing in that new space. All staked out. And it hit me, God's already there. God's already preparing. God's already working. God's in the midst. His spirit is moving. And it was one of those, okay, God, I get it. And it's like, God just goes, okay, you need to be reminded. Need that embedded, defining moment. So today, we invest in eternity. That's why I don't ever apologize when I talk about money or giving. You know, give as much as you can, commit as much as you can, sacrifice as much as you can. Why? Because one day this world ends. One day Jesus Christ returns. One day we'll all give an account of what we did with our life. One day, see, exchange day's coming. And one day the only thing that's going to matter is what we did for eternity, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It'll be so crystal clear, we'll think, wow, why didn't I get it sooner? Now we're going to close. Everyone should have received a commitment card. If you didn't get one and you're prepared today to make that commitment, you know, raise your hand. The ushers have commitment cards. But a couple things I want to remind you. This is up and beyond what we presently give. In other words, if you give, you know, maybe given over the past year and what you give goes to what they call general operating of this church. It does everything that this church does operates through that. You know, it funds all of our ministries. It allows us to buy supplies and materials. It pays the mortgage on this building. You know, it pays our utilities, our repairs, staff salaries, missions. Everything that this church does. That support needs to stay at the level that it's at. We don't run some big surplus. In other words, don't shift your money that you're presently given and go, oh, I'm going to put it over here and help with the One campaign. That will not help us. That will hurt us as a church. This is up and beyond what you presently give, all right? There's three main ways that you can give. Many of you, it might be a combination of these, but the first is a cash gift. some of you are in a position, you can help move us forward and move us forward quickly and just write a cash gift. For some of you, it's doing that and making a commitment. You know, I commit to give X amount, and you fill in that amount to the One campaign. Give a date, okay? That's, for instance, if you're planning to give it by the end of the year, you say December 31st, 2013, or maybe your commitment's for 6 months, and you say June 1st, 2014, or 12 months, you know, November 1st, 2014. You decide how long you need to fulfill your commitment. Someone said, well, what if I do 18 months? We'll still have needs. So, you know, they go, what if we've already built? It's okay. Had someone that caught me and they wanted to know if it was okay. They're planning on writing, I commit to give X amount a week to the One campaign until we break ground. And they go, is that okay? Are you kidding? That's great. You know, you figure it out. You can do the same thing to say, hey, I'm going to give X amount a week, X amount a month, and you can put an end date on it. But here's the deal. Make your intent clear. All right? Just make it clear so that pretend we know nothing. And so we can read it and go, okay, that's their intent. The other is some of you may have assets, you know, stocks. Already have talked to people that are going that direction. But, you know, property, gold, silver, those kinds of things. Write down what it is. Estimate the value. Do not, hear this, do not go out and just sell your stocks or, you know, sell your stuff. Talk to a financial planner. Call the church. We'll help you. There's ways to do it. You don't want to get things in the wrong order. We'll help you be able to take care of the tax benefits, you know, be able to get the full tax benefits of that. Now, I think the kids are going to come join parents at this point, and this is a family affair, so if you don't see your parents, stand up and get the kids' attention. They're along the back wall there. Take as much time as you need to fill this out. If maybe you haven't been with us the last few weeks and you're not prepared, don't just do this without sitting and spending some time with your spouse or your family and talking about it. Just wait and do it next week. So, but as we're worshiping in song today, when you're ready during the song, whatever point, you can bring your gifts forward. There's a basket here in the center, and just place your card in there. To the sides over here, there's just kind of a little memento to remind you of whatever your commitment is, and pick up one of those. And then we're going to celebrate in communion, so you'll drop your card, pick up one of those, and then continue, and we'll take communion together. You know, John writes, he got a glimpse of eternity. He got a glimpse of our future in heaven, and he records what he saw. He says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. That's why we give. That's why we celebrate in communion today, because Jesus Christ made that possible. You know, it's one amazing, loving, powerful God. It's one Savior who freely gave himself up. One sacrifice that's changed all of our lives. Because Jesus Christ said, you know what, I'll die for that. And it's one future. See, God promises that one day, those that love him, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, all gone, just eternity. And friends, I don't know about you, but when I think of all that God has done, I can only think of one response. It's full surrender. It's obedience. And my plan is to spend the rest of my life serving him with my one and only life. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, I pray that you would continue to use us, Lord, to use this church. God, I pray you'd bless this church so that we can be a light to the community, so that we can reach people for Christ, for your Son. God, so that we can make a difference in kids' lives, so that they can grow up, be God-honoring, make a difference in our community and in this world, so that marriages are stronger. God, I pray that you would continue to guide our steps. God, we look forward to what you're going to do in and through us. And God, I pray that everything we say and do would be pleasing. They bring a smile to your face. God, use us. God, we love you. And all God's people said, amen. Let's worship.